We want to hear about resolutions and about some legislation that we just passed. So here's Chris Hollingsworth again.
Thanks again, Ron. As Kane mentioned, this past year, we did get the Parents with Disabilities Rights Bill passed. This was a bill that we've worked on for 2 or 3 years. It all started a couple years ago when we had Carla McQuillan in town as our national rep. And we started with a resolution, and then we moved on to legislation. And Senator Nisgoski has been with us on this bill from the very beginning. He was the first senator to sign on with us, and he stayed with us from the beginning to the end. So Kane is correct that we owe Senator Nisgoski quite a bit. We also worked with several people. I know Kane was involved and Lee Martin was involved. So we worked with several people within the NFB that helped us out. And we worked with the Indiana Statewide Independent Living Council, or INSILC. So we want to really give a shout out and a thanks to them, especially Morgan Daly, who really worked hard for us, and Amber O'Heaver. I know Amber was on some of our meetings earlier this morning. She might still be here. So we want to thank them a lot for what they did. And they put us in contact with a large assortment of groups that work with other disabilities that signed on with us and gave us a lot of help. So we got it done, and we had some help with it, and we appreciate their help. As Kane said, probably the big thing that we got out of it is that they cannot take your children just because you're disabled. And that was really the big thing we wanted. We had a few other things in the bill that we really didn't get that we wanted. And I'm not going to go into a lot of specifics about who did what and who cost us everything. But when it came right down to it, we wanted some expungement of cases where they had taken the children without cause, just because of a disability. We wanted that to be expunged from somebody's record so that nobody could go in and say, well, DCS took your children once because it was an unqualified seizure of the children. So we wanted that expunged, and we lost that. We had some groups that didn't want to sign on because there was some guardianship language that they were afraid that would change part of the Indiana code. And, you know, I think it's important to understand, when we pass one of these laws, it's not like we write a law and it gets passed and that thing gets stuck in the Indiana code. What happens is we come up with everything we want in a law, and then legislative services goes through the Indiana code and they find all the little proper places in the code where parts of our law are applicable. And when we get those all put in there, the law is in several different places in the Indiana code, but it accomplishes what we want. So you can't just pick up the Indiana code and look up the Indiana Parents with Disabilities Rights at law, because it's not that way. It's in several spots. And, you know, guardianship and custody and adoption and all those things are involved. So probably the most important things that we lost were some evidentiary things. We had language in there that asked for, if someone claimed that somebody was not qualified to be a parent or guardian or custodian or get an adoption or anything like that, just because of a disability, they had to provide written evidence. And then the courts had to if the courts didn't rule in the disabled person's favor, they had to provide in writing why they disagreed. And we lost that language. We lost the expungement. But what we did get is we got some extra rights that we didn't have as far as appealing those kinds of decisions. So while we did make some headway, we lost a few things. You know, there's nothing to say in a couple of years we can't go back and try and gain those things back. You know, as a real quick overview, just like last year when it got introduced into the Senate by Senator Nisgoski, it went through the committees, it went through the Senate, it passed unanimously. All 49 senators voted for it, and it passed unobstructed. When it got to the House, it got sent to the Family, Children, and Human Affairs Committee, which is chaired by Dale Devon. And last year, he didn't let it get out of committee because he wanted more information. So we provided more information, and this year he let it get out of committee. But then Representative Claire put forth a couple of amendments that I personally think Dale Devon put him up to that took all those things that we really wanted in the bill, a lot of those things that we really wanted in the bill, out of the bill. And that's how he let it pass out of the committee. And once it was out of the committee with those things taken out, then it passed the House unanimously also. So we did get it done. Let me move on. I know because we're pressed for time. Let me get this to close so I can move on. Come on. Sorry. Here we go. Let's move on to resolutions. So this year we have two resolutions that we've worked on. One of them, people that were at the Resolutions Committee meeting yesterday heard, but I'm going to read it anyway. And the second one, President Brown gave me the idea for. I sent him a copy of what I've written, and I'm going to read it to you guys, and then tomorrow we'll vote on these. So Resolution I-2021-01 is on accessible voting. Whereas voting is one of our nation's most fundamental rights and a hallmark of our democracy, still too many people who are blind and have low vision have been excluded from this core aspect of citizenship because the ballot is completely inaccessible to them. And whereas the Indiana Bill of Voters' Rights guarantees us the right to vote privately and independently in a free and fair election, and whereas the Help American Vote Act of 2002 requires the accessible voting system must provide the same opportunity for access and participation, including privacy and independence, that other voters receive, and whereas Title II of the Americans with Disabilities Act requires that voters with disabilities be afforded an opportunity to exercise the right to vote that is equivalent to the opportunities afforded to voters without disabilities, and whereas many accessible voting machines do not ensure the privacy of the ballot because they do not use the same paper ballot as non-accessible machines, and whereas the use of absentee voting to conduct local, state, and federal elections has increased substantially due to the COVID-19 pandemic, and whereas mail-in ballots are not an accessible avenue for blind individuals to vote independently and privately, now therefore be it resolved by the National Federation of the Blind of Indiana in virtual convention assembled this 10th day of October 2021, that this organization call upon all election officials in the state to ensure that every electronic voting machine is accessible. And be it resolved that this organization implore all election officials in the state to ensure that the poll workers are sufficiently trained to ensure that the privacy and independence provided to all voters be available to the blind and visually impaired. Be it further resolved that this organization call upon the state of Indiana to implement a means of electronic voting that can be used as a form of absentee balloting that ensures and protects the right to an equal opportunity to cast a ballot that is 100% independent, private, and secure vote for all blind and visually impaired Hoosiers. So that is Resolution 1. Resolution 2, and I'm assuming that it's okay with Ron if I read this. So Resolution 2, or Resolution I-2021-02, yeah, regarding the continued exploitation of workers with disabilities under Section 14C of the Fair Labor Standards Act. Whereas the National Federation of the Blind in the capacity, or the National Federation of the Blind believes in the capacity of the blind to be fully participating members of society, able to compete on equal terms with the sighted, and whereas we oppose the unfair, discriminatory, and immoral provisions found in Section 14C of the Fair Labor Standards Act of 1938 that allows United States Secretary of Labor to grant special wage certificates to employers, permitting them to pay their workers with disabilities less than the minimum wage. And whereas it has been demonstrated repeatedly that people with significant disabilities who receive the proper training can and support can also engage in competitive integrated employment, making the use of subminimum wages unnecessary and exploitive. And whereas, although previously outspoken about the need for Section 14C, the Ability One Commission and its two central nonprofit agencies, National Industries for the Blind and Source America, have finally begun to implement the proven strategies that lead to the competitive integrated employment of individuals who were historically placed in segregation or segregated subminimum wage environments. And whereas many employees who have been informed about these successful training employment, Whereas many employers who have been informed about these successful training employment strategies have abandoned their 14C certificates in favor of a model that creates competitive integrated employment opportunities and better futures for the people they serve. And whereas the state of Indiana has six organizations that use Section 14C certificates to pay subminimum wages to 273 disabled employees and 30 organizations in Indiana with pending renewals of their certificates that cover an untold or an unknown number of employees with disabilities. And whereas nationwide there are 700 issued certificates covering 43,934 employees with disabilities and a further 500 pending renewals. And whereas the continued use of these certificates promotes unhealthy attitudes and beliefs among parents and guardians of individuals with disabilities, and in fact, society as a whole, regarding the capabilities and contributions of individuals who have disabilities. And whereas the Department of Labor has a history of leniency and enforcement of laws regarding the fair and decent treatment of individuals who are employed by these organizations, now, therefore, be it resolved by the National Federation of the Blind of Indiana, assembled in virtual convention on October 10th, 2021, that this organization condemn and deplore all entities that use special wage certificates under Section 14C of the Fair Labor Standards Act. And be it further resolved that this organization urge all entities that continue to exploit workers with disabilities through the payment of subminimum wages immediately, wages immediately develop and implement models to transition all of their disabled workers to competitive integrated employment. And be it further resolved that this organization call upon our elected officials to rescind Section 14C of the Fair Labor Standards Act. And that is the end of that resolution. I do want to tell you that the figures that I gave about the number of employees and contracts is valid as of July 21st of this year. And those figures came from the Department of Labor. So that is my report, Mr. President.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. All right, guys. So we will be voting on those resolutions tomorrow. And tomorrow, we won't read the whole resolutions. We'll just read the resolves and move the meeting forward. And then we'll go from there, up and down vote. And now it's about three minutes to five. So we're doing really good. We're going to have our last door prize of the day. But before we have that, first, let me ask you, Pam, did the state do 150 or two?
200, sir.
Have we done $250 or
we did
just
one? Yeah.
All right, good. So we'll do one at the banquet and we'll do one to open tomorrow's session and one to close. So we're good. All right, let me make this announcement real quick. All of our elections, all positions of the Indiana State Board of Directors are up for election tomorrow. We have on the nominating committee this year, the nominating committee will be chaired by Tony Schnurr. The participants on the nominating committee will be Mamie Mason from Northwest Indiana, president, Dennis Manning from Lafayette as president, and Tyler Shirk at the at-large presidency. Those are the nominating committee candidates. The nominating committee is a closed meeting. It is the only closed meeting that we have in this organization. And so I ask that you guys be mindful of that. The chair of the committee, Tony Schnurr, will be calling you guys immediately after this meeting and having a dialogue with you guys about the election and the slate of officers and board members. Please do not share that information with anyone tonight, and please keep it close to you for tomorrow's election. And Tony will come back tomorrow with us and read off the slate of officers and board members.